20 million miles to Earth.
Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about 20 million miles to Earth.
1957.
Right. This is the first time we've heard, that I've ever heard, of the titular line being said while the title is up. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. It definitely, like, the opening is, so you set it up and you're going, man, this is the kind of movie that drive-ins were made for, you know.
Right.
It's just like kind of like it's, this probably was great, just a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I don't think. Watching it on the couch isn't the best way to view this movie. Right off the bat, we get the credit for Ray Harryhausen, mm-hmm. So already excited.
You know, there's a great piece of trivia that came up when I kind of was looking it up on IMDb, and I like to scroll through and see what the trivia says. The reason it takes place in Italy.
Oh, why is that?
Was Ray Harryhausen wanted to have a vacation in Italy.
Oh.
And didn't, you know, couldn't quite afford to like just do it all on his own. So he convinced the producer to have it set in Italy. Huh. And yeah, in fact, I don't think all the actors got to go to Italy, because there's a lot of like just kind of in front of like blue screen,
right,
and composite and like that kind of stuff for the Italian stuff.
So weren't really Italian actors, were they?
Wow.
Cause,
some of them were. Some of them were clearly Italian actors, right. And some of them seemed pretty non-Italian, but doing a heavy-handed Italian accent.
Yeah, it's funny because I sat there and I started laughing at it like immediately, because the first thing we see is like a fishing town in Sicily. Like that's the title,
yes,
card. I'm like, okay, we're in Italy. And then the actors start acting and I'm like, oh boy. But was laughing at it. And I don't know why. And I don't think it's okay, but I think it's funny when that Italian accents are cool to like. You know, we don't get as mad.
Right. It's okay to make fun of Italian accents. Yeah, right. Definitely. And here it's more, it goes beyond that as well. There's that part when they're explaining they say, you know, he's got a, I got to find it. Oh. He drives a truck with a house that follows like a goat.
Yeah.
And they're like,
oh, a trailer.
Oh, a trailer.
Yeah. I was like, oh, are they stupid or they just are trying to figure out the word? They don't know the word
making
trailer.
I think they're making them, I mean, not necessarily stupid, but just like very like small towny kind of.
All right.
Pastoral, you know.
Sure.
Big giant spaceship crashed into the ocean.
Right. And I was like, okay, this is how you start a movie. Like it's
like bubbling around it and stuff. It's pretty good.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, it looks, you know, I saw it. And I'm like, oh, that just looks like something a man would make. It doesn't look like an alien spacecraft. So I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, cause I didn't know anything about this movie other than that I've seen the monster before.
Right.
So I didn't know.
So you recognize the monster. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that. And so I'm like, okay, well, I just assume that the monster came from, 20 million miles.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy who looked like he was from Dick Tracy and the little boy with the skid marks on his back, they like.
Okay. Yeah, the little, okay, yeah, so first of all they're like going, hey, are we gonna chicken out and leave like the other fishermen did, or you know, or are they like, are we something, or are we men of the seas or something like that?
Yeah, that was the thing, is that we've discussed this before, like if there's a real Godzilla, how close do you want to get to see it, like where, how far are we going to drive to see that. So like, I'm like in the same boat. I'm like, oh, if that ship crashes right into the ocean, I'm like, I kind of want to see what's in there.
Yeah.
And what the thing that was like, because I didn't know what this spaceship was. I thought maybe it was alien, but I'm like, it right. looks too much like a human rocket ship to be an alien ship. Like it looked like what we already built. So I'm like, I think I would go towards it and see what's inside.
Yeah. So they rode towards it. And as they approach it, the kid starts crawling forward to the front of the boat. And you realize he's got like this patch down like the back seam in the middle of his pants.
It's like a perfect skid mark.
I was like, did he rip his pants? Are we seeing butt? What are we looking at there? Cut to the guy who's maybe his dad or who knows what their relationship is, who says, look, a hole. He's referring to the rocket's hole. Right. But we're looking at the kid's pants right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, what the hell? I had to back it up.
So was it a hole or was it a skid mark?
No, I think basically it's like a patch. I think it's like it was like as if it was split at one point and it was just mended.
Okay. I thought all that stuff was cool. I really liked the way like they did the comp shots with the ship and the bubbling in the water.
Yeah.
Like all of that was really cool. And then them taking the boat up to it reminded me of episode 9 when they take a boat to go to the Death Star wreckage.
Okay.
But yeah, like going inside and all the steam going off and stuff.
I think they were hitting them with fire extinguishers.
Yeah, it was still exciting though.
Because they would get like white stuff on their arms and stuff as they would walk past them. But it looked cool. The fire extinguishers works for this thing.
Yeah.
I bet you, you can't really, one, steam is probably more dangerous for burning purposes. Mm-hmm. And it also probably doesn't show up as good on film.
Right.
But the fire extinguisher looks good, but you saw like flecks of white landing on their parts of their body. Mm-hmm. And they're like,
It was fun. I loved it. it was all thrilling. Like I like spaceships and stuff, so it was kind of fun watching them crawl around. And so it's such a fun like kind of like they're just like poor fishermen in Italy. Like you know, seeing a dude in like suspenders and like a white t-shirt.
Yeah, like crawling through a spaceship. Yeah,
Through a spaceship. It's like, oh, this is really cool.
Yeah, and it's very and also it's like it's the spaceship's really kind of like. The inside is almost like the inside of a submarine. There's lots of pipes.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's really kind
of. Like they're in the guts really of it. Cool.
It's very, it's kind of like a steampunk spaceship. It's very much like how it's just like, it's really kind of like hardy.
I feel like a lot of times, like nowadays, you would go into the spaceship and it would be like, you'd end up on the bridge or something. Like a room that's like really clean. Or, but this was like inside the guts, like the engine room, mechanical, like that's not where you would normally go in. So that was kind of neat. And then they'd climb their way through to get up to the control room
where the bodies are. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And they're both alive. Like the two guys, I thought they were the only two on the ship.
They found one dead guy and then they found two other people.
Right.
And we knew one guy was definitely alive. The other guy, he said, grab that guy. But
that was great.
We weren't sure.
I thought that was great, too. Because what's fun about like some of these American monster movies is, you know, they got to backload them with the monster stuff. Because you watch, you're going to get like fatigue if it's just nonstop. I mean, there's a little bit of that in this. But if it's like nonstop monster stuff, it's kind of tough to watch. That's what I like about them, and that's what I like about Rodan, is they set it up as a mystery. So since I really knew nothing about this movie other than what the monster looked like, it was kind of fun going on the journey and discovering, you know, with the people what's happening. Because I didn't know what the spaceship was. I assumed it was a spaceship with aliens in it. I didn't realize when they saw it was people in it. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's ours. And then we kind of find out that they were on a mission and they succeeded in their mission. They made it all the way to Venus, came all the way back, and almost made it back before they got into trouble. And I think they got hit by a comet or something, but they were so close, and then they got lost. And all of that was really fun, where we get to see the military side of it, where they're like, oh, the ship is gone, we don't know about it, and they're kind of freaking out, and then they get the phone call saying that they've been found. Like, all that stuff was really fun.
Yeah, I liked it. It was like this like American secret mission, and it was just like, you know, America is excellent, and look what we were able to do. Right. And then they're like, but we got a problem. So now they decide we're gonna have to tell the world what we've been up to.
Right.
But you know, it was good.
And then the kid Pepe.
Yes.
What's his name? Finds that cylinder.
Yeah.
This thing is awesome.
Well, yeah. So first they go, they have to go get doctors for these guys, right. And they run and they go to, he finds the cylinder. Oh yeah. He's going to go take it. But the other Italian guy, he goes to go to to find a doctor, and he goes to a guy who's more, he's just like a doctor of zoology or something.
Right.
And he's like, but maybe my daughter can help you. And he asks her, Signorina, are you a doctor of people with hurts? And she is. And so she went to go take care of them. And then the guy, did the guy's face get worse?
The sailor or the fisherman?
No, the doctor, the one that they saved.
The astronaut doctor, yes.
Like, I think his face was just like kind of like blotchy in the place, but then it was like it had like oatmeal stuck to it later.
Right. Yeah, it looked worse. And I don't know if that was he was getting worse or it was a continuity thing. I think it might have been a continuity thing.
Oh, I thought he was just getting worse. I thought it was like, oh, it's progressively getting worse on this thing. It's almost like the scaly skin disease from Game of Thrones. Like, he just had this thing that was growing on his face. It was very much like when the thing crashed and it's kind of like – it kind of like the Creepshow meteor shit.
Oh, right.
When the grass stuff started growing on everybody.
Yeah. I like that scene, though, where he's a little demeaning. He calls her a nurse.
Oh, right.
And then she says, well, you know, actually, I'm a doctor. And I'm like, oh, cool. Way to go. And then she says, well, almost. And I'm like, oh, you're so close. But that whole scene where he's really dismissive of her.
Right. He keeps calling her almost a doctor.
And he's just trying to get to his doctor because he knows there's a problem. Like, I thought that was all I really liked that scene. Like, I felt like the tension was pretty good. Like, I'm like, let this guy talk to this other guy because he's going to die any second and he's got some information that he needs.
And I've got to find out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy's name is Dr. Sharman.
Right.
So I kept wanting her to be like, stop it. You're squeezing him or some stupid thing.
So let's talk about this thing the kid finds. Pepe.
Yeah.
It was so awesome, dude.
I want
that. I want to go back in time, get that thing and slide that thing out. It's like the cranberry sauce out of the can.
Yeah.
Where it just slides out in that chunk and it's
the whole container. Yeah.
It's kind of like the blob, but it's
jelly-like.
But it's a little more of a harder substance. And then he holds it up to the light and you could see the monster inside. Like, it looks like the greatest toy that you would get at Discovery Center or something, like your own little fake egg, like they have fake dinosaur eggs and stuff,
right?
And it kind of reminded me of those little dinosaur toys that you used to get where they're like muscle monsters and stuff, and you put them in glass, you put them in a glass of water, and then the next morning you go into the kitchen to see how big it got.
Right.
And you take it out and it's all slimy. Like, that's what it felt like to me. It felt like the coolest, like, gross, like, toy from, like, the 80s or something.
Yeah, it was cool.
I liked it. I wanted it.
When he broke out of it and little bits and stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, like, everything about that. I want that as a thing. like a full size, plop it out on my table and dig through it and pull out the cool monster thing. Like that should be a thing.
Yeah.
Like back when they made Slime and back when they made Muscle Man, like they needed to combine those and put the Muscle Man in the trash can
get it.
With the slime, but there'd be slime
in it. And then you get the Muscle Man, pull fish him out of the slime. There was like those slimes you could get that had like eyeballs and worms mixed in with it that you could separate it out. Yeah. There's a part then when they get when the monster comes alive and it's great looking.
Oh yeah. And this is a surprise, 'cause I didn't know there was a teeny monster. So I'm like, cool. Okay. So we get the monster fairly early on and it's tiny. And
well,
I'm like,
you knew it was the monster in that egg. Did you?
Yeah. But I was glad that we were going to, I knew what the end result was, 'cause I've seen the footage of the full size one. So I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
We're going to see it grow up and go through all the phases. And that was exciting.
Like puberty.
Yeah.
And and so there's a part when the monster's there and they get him in the cage and she says, so very ugly and yet seems so frightened. Like that had anything to do with the other.
The physical appearance.
Yeah. Right. It's like, why is he so scared when he's this ugly? There's a great part. Then her grandfather is going to go. He has to go to town. He's going to go find the Italian kid.
Oh.
And he goes and he does this thing. He grabs his jacket and he puts it on. And he gets one arm in and he walks away before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he puts his wrong arm in that sleeve. So he's just about to put his jacket on backwards.
you think the editor left that in?
I just think they only could do one take. He wasn't, and he ended up doing that. And he's like, oops.
I forgot to mention when he was tiny, when the creature was tiny, came out of the blob. So it's in that trailer. And when the doctor walks in, when she walks in there,
yeah,
all you see is the silhouette of the monster. And I didn't realize that it was in the foreground. I thought it was in the background through the doorway. And I thought it was already a big monster. And so when the lights came on and I realized it was in the foreground, I'm like, oh, that's kind of a cool trick. Yeah. Like you think it's big, but it's teeny. I thought that was kind of a cool reveal. Just a neat, weird shot that I liked a lot. All the integration with the stop motion and the live action is really pretty good.
Also, it was really great.
Like the lighting matched up. You never saw it. There was a couple of parts where like you would see like the background plate sort of shift, but it didn't happen that often.
The only part, the only composition that was off was. Or you noticed it basically was the when people were getting crushed with like chunks of the Colosseum.
Right.
That stuff
looked really fake.
That stuff looked fake.
Like, why not just build styrofoam chunks
and throw them at people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a fight in the barn where it's kind of now like human size.
Yes.
And the first couple shots didn't occur to me that the guy he was wrestling, the guy with the pitchfork that stabbed him in the back, was also a puppet person. And it fooled me because it didn't even occur to me that it was fighting a puppet, because I know it's a stop motion thing and it's fighting the guy. I'm like, oh, cool. It's fighting the guy. I'm like, wait a second.
When that he gets make attacked, sense. When he's on top of him, you didn't realize that it was
The first couple shots, it didn't even occur to me.
Oh.
Because I just assumed that he was comped in, but it wasn't. It was a puppet guy. Because I'm like, oh, wait, that doesn't make any sense that he's comped in. It wouldn't look that good. The way they were interacting, I thought it was really good. I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's got to be a puppet person. And so by the second or third shot, I'm like, oh, it is a puppet person.
Yeah, it looks like a G.I. Wow. Joe.
But with having them fighting in the foreground and having like live action people around it, it like fills up the frame with enough real stuff that it didn't occur to me at the very beginning that, yeah, it's the person he's fighting is fake. Like, I think all of the comp stuff, man, the lighting just matched up so good.
When they get the net on him.
I don't know how you do that either. How do you animate? I mean, you got to get underneath the net in order to. It looks so good. Like, having to animate that net.
Yeah, whatever the material the net was made out of, that it was something that they could
bend,
move, and yet, you know, it would cling to them. It's really good.
Right. Like, you would think, like, it's either one of those things where Ray Harryhausen was like, okay, we're going to try to do an animated net, so go ahead and do that. Or the production created this net scenario with the helicopter, and he's like, oh shit, now I gotta figure this out. But either way, it looked really good.
Like, yeah, it was great.
What's the last Harryhausen we saw? I think Black Scorpion. I think that was that was Wilson. No, Bryan.
Wasn't it Giant Behemoth?
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it was. You're right. This looks way better than Giant Behemoth.
Well, this one, I think he had the budget
right
on this one.
Right.
To do it right. Oh, you know, another thing was in the initial designing of the monster, he was going to do a Cyclops and then ended up scrapping that idea and doing this guy. But then later redid a Cyclops for the Seven Voyages of Sinbad, I think it is. Mm-hmm. You know that, you know, it's like that iconic Cyclops with the horn in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was basically that. And basically he took the, you know, the base armature and stuff of this guy to use for making that Cyclops.
This dude's awesome. The design of this guy is awesome.
He's great. It's really, really a nice sculpt.
Like,
really
the nice giant design. Behemoth it's just a brontosaurus. This kinda has sloppy. Like some cool, this has a really cool look to it.
Great sculpt. Kind of
looks like the Kraken.
He definitely looks like that was an influence
from Clash of the Titans.
Definitely borrowed from each other for sure.
Right. But
it's very much like,
but totally unique. It could have been
that's kind of, it looks like he kind of looked like he had a mustache.
Yeah. it was like a catfish thing.
Yeah.
Like how catfish,
you know, I guess according to Harryhausen has a cameo in it. Where basically, I didn't see this guy, but maybe he doesn't, not really a cameo, but and apparently an actor didn't show up. It was a guy who was feeding the elephant peanuts.
Oh, okay.
And so Harryhausen just kind of jumped in and just did the part. And then apparently he also has shots of him running away from the monster later.
Huh.
Oh, you know, it was great. So they wanted like an 11-foot elephant,
okay,
for the movie. Mm-hmm. And the elephant they could get was an 8-foot elephant.
Okay,
so they hired a guy who was like 4 foot something to make the elephant look bigger.
Wow.
Who plays like the elephant trainer.
That's great. I love that stuff. That's like in the movie Alien, like when the ship lands, they built the set with the landing gears. And and Ridley Scott didn't like how small they were, so he got his kids and made tiny astronaut outfits to go out and walk around in those sets so that they look bigger. Like, that kind of stuff is awesome. It's like that Gilligan's Island with the Jack and the Beanstalk where the skipper's the giant and they have a little kid dressed as Gilligan running under his legs and stuff. So, okay. This movie I'm excited to talk about. There's so much to talk about, but I do like the fact that we're talking about the design, that it doesn't have regular human legs, because even when he's human size, they don't have a man in the suit. It's always, it's always stop motion. So that's kind of cool. Like, Harryhausen like designed it in such a way where he had to do the work. And there was no like close-ups of a man in a suit or a mask or anything.
Right.
I thought that was super interesting to do that, because I liked the way the legs were kind of backwards, like a goat leg almost. So yeah, you couldn't get a dude in that.
They wanted an elephant that was 15 feet tall.
Oh.
And so the actor was 4 feet, 6 inches. The zookeeper guy.
I think it's funny that guns don't work against it, but pitchforks kind of work.
Right.
But.
I think it's also flamethrowers are pretty good.
Yeah.
And if you can get your hands on a flamethrower tank, it's a nice move.
Right. Okay, so let me talk. I brought this up last episode. I'm going to let you know now. So this movie's called 20 Million Miles to Earth, and they visit Venus.
Right.
How far do you think Venus is? It's not 20 million. Do you have any guesses of how far Venus is from Earth?
I think it depends on where
we are in our orbits.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it gets to 20 million because according to the internet, it's 56 million miles to Venus. So I'd have to check our orbits.
56.48 million miles currently.
So I'm wondering, dude, would you – so if you were to leave Earth –
when Venus is closest to the Earth, it's about 25 million miles.
Oh, okay. So I'm wondering if there's a time you could leave Earth that by the time you got to where Venus is going to be, it's 20 million miles. You know?
Yeah.
Tough to say. It's an interesting title. I don't know.
Well, it's I guess it gets another place says it's 38 kilometers, which is 23.6 miles. It's close. I mean, they can't. Yeah. I mean, it's 20 million miles is better than 25 million miles and 23.6 million. So right. I think they did all right.
Yeah,
they got away with it. I wonder if they went, all right, let's see, 20 million miles to Earth. What planet is 20 million miles away?
They like the title. They just didn't have any facts. When they capture him and he's laying on that table, I thought was the coolest thing. Like, Like Operation or your Frankenstein game.
I was like putting in... All right, so how far away is Uranus? It is almost 2 billion miles.
Yeah, I just read that Uranus is leaking gas. It's currently... Did you hear about that?
No.
It was a news story like a couple weeks ago. The closest
it gets is 1.6 billion. I'm surprised. How did my radar miss that one?
It was the same day they put us on lockdown. It was literally like the headline was... atmosphere of Uranus leaking gas. And I'm like, that is amazing.
Leaking NASA's gas leaking and flying away from Uranus. Oh my God. This is the best thing ever. I can't wait to share this with people.
Yeah.
And it's old news. I hope they don't know this already.
it was like 2 weeks? Nah.
March 27th.
Yeah, that was only
this
like
article
a week.
March 27th.
Oh, yeah, we're in May right now. I forgot.
Oh, it was a while ago. Oh boy.
Oh, they're loose. okay. Anyway, as I was saying, that table that he was on.
Yes.
Like I want
like,
a toy.
At first,
of
I was
that.
Like, did they build this for him? And it's great because then they go to the wide shot and it's like there's a whole like it's like a second floor in this lofty kind of place.
It's like in the zoo, right?
That guy's like the doctor of it.
So maybe it was partially a good like they had equipment there.
Oh, for bigger animals.
And they had to
animals?
Like kind of retrofit.
Oh yeah, that's where they put the elephant to help the elephant.
Because he was the same size as the elephant. So he wasn't like super gigantic. So that makes sense. That elephant fight, man.
Yeah.
Dude. It was so good.
It was like wrestling. Like they kind of go at each other like wrestlers. But yeah, the elephant hated him.
What was great too was that like when we watched Mighty Joe Young, like there's like definitely some real tigers being tossed around in there. This was nice because it was just like all the fighting was CG elephant or not CG, stop motion elephant.
Yeah.
So good. Like all of that was great. It was an awesome fight. Reminded me of the T-Rex Kong fight a little bit, real grapply.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. That's why very much like we're like very kind of like locking up and like circling around, mm-hmm. you know, trying to grab a leg.
Threw him on that car and smashed it like that.
That was great. See, and then the car, like it kind of like it crushed it. It kind of bounced back a little bit and crushed it some more.
Yeah, this is why it needs to be seen on the big screen. I feel like stuff like that would be a lot of fun to see. Even when he's sitting on the table, it's stop motion because you could see him breathing.
Yeah,
and like even when he's in the foreground, like. That's a shot you can get away with not having the creature in the shot, but
yeah,
man, Harryhausen really went for it on this one.
It was really good. So the woman in it was also in Earth versus the Flying Saucers.
Right. I haven't seen that.
We didn't see that?
No, I haven't seen it.
Did I just see that on my own? What I feel like?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never seen it.
It was,
we wouldn't watch it for this show because there's probably no kaiju in it. And why would we watch a movie with no kaiju in it?
Oh, maybe it was because,
it happens more often than we think.
I guess because there was like, when we were watching, I think it might've been Giant Behemoth actually, where they borrowed footage from Earth versus the Flying Saucers. I believe that's where they borrowed it from. And some of the destruction.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a quick shot where you kind of see the flying saucer for a second.
Right.
And anyway, she was in that. And William Hopper, who's the guy, he was in Deadly Mantis, which is a giant bug movie.
I've seen that via Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, okay.
It's a rough watch.
Is it?
Yeah, it's kind of like, from what I remember, all the footage is really dark. And then the mantis is like a superimposed puppet. So you mostly just see the silhouette, but like the silhouette see-through. Like some of the bad shots from like the Black Scorpion. But it's like all of that, if I remember right. Or they might have also made a giant mantis for it, but... speaking of Gilligan's Island, I think the skipper's in it, Alan Hale.
Oh, okay.
Pretty sure, if I remember correctly. Weird stuff to remember, but
it's weird. I guess I just ended up. I guess I saw Earth was playing Saucer just recently, just on my own. It just feels like.
Are there aliens in it?
Yeah, there's. First, they have like these guys that have these big. Silver helmets, and then it gets revealed later what they look like without their helmets on.
Ooh, okay, cool. I don't want to know. Is it something that I probably have seen though?
What they look like?
Yeah, it's probably one of those things where, like, if I watch the movie, it'll be like, "Oh, that's these guys."
Yeah, it's these guys.
Cool. Cool. Yeah, this movie is like. Crazy stop motion fantasy, like everything you want, like it's nonstop, and it's done really well.
Mm-hmm.
As far as character designs go, it's up there for me.
Oh yeah, it's great one.
There's certain things you could do in stop motion that you can't do with guys in a suit, and it's fun that the design is more than just a cyclops. Like it's like a totally unique creature. Ooh. Yeah, those guys are crazy. They look like they talk like Beaker from the Muppets. But I don't know if that's the case. Oh, it's crazy.
Man, there's so much destruction of like Italian landmarks. And there's also, you know, it's funny. You know, I like they decided, they're like, we should get some shots of just like Italian people reacting to stuff and just looking like, cause there's some shots of people just like, just seeing what's happening mm-hmm. and they look very Italian.
Right.
Or like, there's like the lady hanging out of the window screaming when she sees him come through like the town square and stuff like that too. It was great.
Yeah, it's also kind of nice, like, that it makes this movie a little more iconic and separated from the others, that he's, you know, attacking the Colosseum. Cause yeah. like, it's like, he already did in, It Came From Beneath the Sea, the Golden Gate Bridge. Like, he's right. just like ticking off all of these landmarks. It's kind of fun. Like, it makes the movie stand out.
This is like after this, he wanted to do that. This after this is when he gets into like the Sinbad movies and doing more mythological and I think more artful stories instead of just like monster movies. Right. He wanted to do something that was a little more.
But I like that it's like kind of these movies get defined by the locations they go to.
Like, oh yeah, like Hitchcock movies,
like Gorgo, the and Big Ben. Or the London Bridge, you know, there's like certain things where that like you associate it, like Giant Behemoth. I don't remember where that was. He didn't really go up against any sort of like landmark. It was just like kind of a random city. So for Harryhausen to pick the Colosseum is like perfect.
Wait, didn't the Behemoth go against Big Ben too?
Maybe. Did we also see a Big Ben that was stop motion get torn apart?
Yeah, I think so. I think that was...
I know Gorgo did. And then I remember the Big Ben crumbling and hearing all the spring sounds.
Right.
I don't know. This movie is way more memorable, though, than Giant Behemoth.
Yeah.
But I think Giant Behemoth, didn't that also start in the fishing town? It was like Scandinavian or something. I don't remember. They're starting to run together. Which is why I like this. This one definitely stands out. Colosseum's rare.
Yeah, in fact, there's models of him climbing up on Big Ben.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I wonder, have we missed any Harryhausen like monster movies? Like
That's a good question.
Other than like Jason and the Argonauts or anything like that, but. If there's something right. we're missing, we could probably slot that in. Something like this.
Yeah, we have some slots.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Because I think that would be good to go through to make sure we can
yeah,
take off
totally.
Some of
those. Yeah, totally. He's like, in a sense, like he's, I think definitely.
The Beast from however many fathoms. We'll see. We'll look into it. But this one is definitely like the coolest Harryhausen. Like I like Mighty Joe Young, but man, just the amount of stuff that happens in this movie is so awesome, and the creature design is so awesome.
Oh my gosh! It's looks like it's technically a documentary.
But that Harryhausen documentary?
But this might actually be the thing that we're looking for. The animal world. I just kind of went and I was like scrolling through Harryhausen stuff and
it's a dinosaur movie?
Yeah, look at this. I mean, this is the poster.
Okay. It's got a volcano and dinosaur. It doesn't have. There's a palm tree.
How is this not everything you want?
There's a palm tree on the left.
I bet you. You know what? Now, dude. Yeah.
Okay. We'll look into that. We need to fill our slot with that. Something like that. It's like a brontosaurus, a T Rex with a horn on his nose.
Triceratops. Now, poster's can be deceiving, but it's as good as that, man.
It's got two volcanoes on the poster, both erupting, and a palm tree. Yeah, we're going to do that. Or something. We're going to find the best one of those. We're going to watch that. Is that Harryhausen?
Yeah, so it's animation by
Harry. Oh, well, let's do that.
We'll... Yeah, this beast of 20,000 fathoms as well.
He's like a lizard, right?
That covers it. Beast of 20,000 fathoms? Yeah, yeah, he's like, he's kind of like a giant behemoth. Oh, yeah, you're right. He looks, maybe he's more iguana-y.
Cool. Yeah. Anyway, I thought this movie was awesome.
Oh, yeah, he's totally an iguana. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, this is definitely one that's going to, like, probably show up for me, like, around Halloween. Like, maybe September, like, when you're in the mood for Halloween stuff, but it's, like, too early to watch Halloween stuff. So you can, it's, like, a classic, like, stop-motion monster movie. Good time. That's a good time for sci-fi monster movies. You know?
Yeah.
Like space stuff, not necessarily your
yeah,
your laboratories.
Yeah, it's like kind of this feeling like, you know, Japan had Ishiro Honda.
Right.
And we had Harryhausen to kind of like do our monsters.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of our monsters, let's talk about our next episode. I'm excited because I've only seen it once and it's been about 10 years. So I'm very, very excited to see it. We are watching King Kong 1976.
Oh, man.
There's two things that stand out to me. There's three things.
This is probably the movie that that made me a monster movie lover.
Yeah. It's Jeff Bridges. It's bloody, right? Doesn't it get real bloody? And Jessica Lange. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Excited for that one. Yeah, man. we're hitting into the summertime pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
So we're ramping up. We're ramping up to the end of the list. So exciting. Check that out and we'll have links for you at kaijupod.com where you can you know, check out our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And, yeah, look forward to that. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
We only have a couple more King Kong movies before we've, ticked them off all the list. So exciting.
Yeah. We're not doing the cartoons.
No, we're not going to do the cartoons, but, yeah. yeah. So until next time, I'm going to go visit the Coliseum. I've never been. It looks pleasant.
I'm gonna go play like a Texas cowboy. Pow, pow, pow.
That's how I bought my American Texas hat. Recent. Did have you ever been to the Coliseum?
Yes.
Is it cool? Is it like, oh, it's not as big as I thought it'd be?
Or
is it bigger than you thought it would be?
Yeah, no, it's not as big as you think it is, but it's very big still. And it's like Rome, like it's the Coliseum. And then, because like it was more than just the Coliseum was just that one round building. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, I liked how the way the creature died on the top of the Coliseum was very reminiscent of King Kong too,
right?
With the way he's kind of holding on and trying to maintain, up. It's pretty good.
Do we have a name for this thing?
Oh yeah, he does have a name. It's like Ymir. It's like Y-M-I-R.
Okay,
but they never referred to that in the movie.
Because I was going to say, if I were to go to, like, Italy, like, I'd want the action figure and pose it around different places.
Oh, yeah. Know, yeah.
But he's a cool dude. He's a cool dude. He's we'll see when this is all said and done where he, if he fits on my top.
Monster design?
Top monster designs. He's up there for sure. Cool. All right, man. Yeah. Looking forward to the next one.
Cool.